We'll turn your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. Glad that each and every one of you are with us, and you that are visiting with us, we welcome you and glad that you're here and thankful for the privilege once again to meet together to worship our Lord. And as I said, appreciate each one that covered for me during the services, the way the Lord blessed here in the services while I was gone. And I missed you. I tell you what, it's a strange thing. It was coming up on 11 o'clock in Ohio time, Eastern time. I was thinking about you and praying for you. Pray that the Lord would bless there, here, and help us there. Had a good time with those folks, and thankful for the Lord's blessings in those things. Here in 1 Kings chapter 19, Brother Elijah has been had a mountaintop experience, didn't he? And the Lord has shown his power, and the Lord has sent a rain after this drought for so many years. And we find in chapter 19 that Elijah is on the run. Jezebel's made a great threat towards him, and that he's going to kill him. And so he runs. And he runs for a long time. We know this man Elijah, when he runs, he's able to run a long, long way. We see that in the scripture, that he's a runner. And the Lord provides for him here with the angel of the Lord for a couple times there, and feeds him, and he rests some more. And he goes for 40 days, it says, on the strength of that meat and drink that the Lord provides for him there. He comes to this cave in verse number 9, and the Lord asks him. The word of the Lord again came to him, as Brother Stephen referenced, and what a wonderful lesson and message the Lord gave our brother this morning, and that's been recorded, so if you'd like to hear that, I recommend you listening to that message, and come to Sunday school. If you can at all, come to Sunday school. There's a blessing in the Word of God that goes out in Sunday school. And so come and hear. And if you can't come, we've got that on our website, and you can listen to it there. And we'll help you to understand how to get to that. But all of our brethren, all of their Sunday school lessons are recorded, and I'm thankful for them and the word that the Lord gives them. The Lord asks Elijah, he says, "What are you doing here?" He makes his appeal and plea to the Lord about his faithfulness and his loneliness and that. And it says in verse number 11, and the Lord told him to go stand on the mount. And this is Mount Horeb, Mount Sinai, okay? And where the law was given. And the Lord passed by, it says there in verse number 11, and there's a great strong wind. It actually rent the mountains, break in pieces the rocks. So those rocks there on Horeb, on Sinai, I mean, they were actually broken by that wind. There's an earthquake, it says. But the Lord was not in the earthquake, it tells us at the end of verse 11. After the earthquake, there was a fire on that mount. That mount had been on the smoke before, right? But remember the days of Moses, when Moses went up, the Lord met with Israel and Moses there. But the Lord was not in the fire. Verse number 12, and after the fire, a still small voice. Interesting that our Lord laid upon Brother Stephen about the incarnation and the personification of the Word in the Scripture. This morning, our message is, words only the Savior can affirm. Words only the Savior can affirm. And this word affirm is talking about to make solid and sure. And these words that we're talking about, and this is the Savior and the words that he has. You know, we're going to slow down this morning, and we're going to get personal this morning, just between you and the Lord here. And of course, we're here together indeed, but the word of the Lord's coming to each one of us individually. And I want you to consider in your heart, you and the Lord, you and God Almighty, you and the Lord Jesus Christ, do you have these words affirmed to you by the Savior? We read the Word of God, and we do so publicly, and I trust you read it personally and feed upon the Word of God. But understand the effect and the working of the Word of God as it is as it comes to us in our hearts, in our souls. To you, the individual, to me, the individual person, to we individually that have been given a soul by God Almighty that will live forever. Oh, there was a time that we did not live, but when the Lord gave us life, we became a living soul by God Almighty, and we will live forever. And I want you to evaluate, each one of us to evaluate this morning about these words that only the Savior can affirm. In Mark chapter 1, we see here the Lord Jesus in his ministry, in the beginning of his ministry, and the first words recorded that the Lord Jesus speaks publicly are recorded here. And again, that reference in 1 Kings 19 about that still small voice, that is that voice of the Lord that speaks to our hearts, speaks to our souls. Do you have this? In Mark chapter 1, verse number 15, Jesus is coming preaching there in Galilee after John the Baptist was put in prison. And it says in verse number 15, his message is this: the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Have you heard the still small voice of God with affirmation and surety speak these words to you? Not that they're known and not that they're generally known for us all, but have you heard that still small voice of God speaking to you? I tell you what, it's a blessing indeed, isn't it? It is comfort to the soul. It is salvation found in our Lord Jesus Christ, that we need to repent. You know, it's good to repent. We want to stay away from repentance. We don't like repentance. We don't like the submission that's involved in repentance. And I tell you what, it's a wondrous and blessed thing to have the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, to know that some 2,000 years ago, that when Jesus came, lived, suffered, bled, and died, was buried, and rose again, to know by that word of the Lord that he did it for you. For you. Tell you what, is a great event, the greatest event in history. And you and I, we're typically just being, I would say, just not to run anyone down, but we're common folks, aren't we? We're just folks in the world. We love one another. Our Lord's brought us here together, but you know, we've got our families that love us and that, but we're not known by the world, are we? But I tell you what, if you're saved, this greatest event in history, by the most famous person that there is, if you're saved, you know that he did that for you. Amen. You know and believe that he did that for you. Words only the Savior can affirm. Yes, the Lord has brought me to repentance. Yes, the Lord has caused me to believe in his death, burial, and resurrection for me and for my sins. In Mark chapter 2, as the Lord Jesus begins his ministry, he's out and he's on a mission. He's got a handful of things that he's doing. Of course, in time, in the 3 years or so, he's heading towards the fulfilling of his gospel. He's got something else at hand. He's building an institution, isn't he? He's building an institution, another institution. He's ordained that of the family. He's ordained that of governments. He's had and built up in his own nation. Brother Bobby reading about those things. It says here in verse number 14 of Mark 2, and as he passed by, Jesus passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom, and said unto him, follow me. Follow me. Oh, yeah, you read it there in the scripture, I know, and we've heard it declared so many times. Have you heard the voice of the Lord, a still small voice of the Lord speaking to you, to your heart and your soul? Follow me. I tell you what, those are blessed words, aren't they? The King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the Savior of the world, the greatest one that has ever lived, that man that has fulfilled and will fulfill all that God has given mankind to do. He's spoken to me. I know that you declare so by saying that you're salvation, saying that you're saved and you have salvation from the Lord and you're being look to be obedient to the Lord and all that. But I tell you what, I only know about me on the inside. And what a blessed thing, isn't it? To hear that still small voice of the Lord speaking to us. Follow me. Not Brother Jim saying follow me. Not our parents saying follow us. But Jesus saying, follow me, follow me. In John chapter 20, our Lord Jesus has been crucified, buried. It's been 3 days since that. The disciples there, they're just wondering what's going on. There's these women and they want to do something for their Lord. They love their Lord. They want to honor him in his death, with everything that they can do. They've been preparing these spices. They've had this of these Sabbaths that have just been stacked up against each other with the Passover and the days of unleavened bread. And then the Sabbath day, the last day of the week. So many things at hand that's just held them up. But I tell you what, when it was lawful for them to go, they went because they love their Lord. They're in a quandary. They don't know what's going to happen. We see here in John chapter 20, and it seems that those other women have started their trip on back, and they have inquired about the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says in verse number 11 of chapter 20, but Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher. It's been opened, right? The two angels are sitting there. They ask her, oh, why are you weeping? And they've taken away my Lord, his body. Do you know where they've taken his body? Verse number 14, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing there and knew not that it was Jesus. It tells us in the other places in the Gospels that she thought it might have been the gardener. Jesus asked the same question to her. Says there about the gardener also. She supposing him to be the gardener. And said, if you know where they've taken his body, tell me. I'll take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. Have you heard that still small voice of the Lord saying your name? We're getting right personal this morning. Getting right personal and right eternal. Because you know what? It's not enough for your parents to say your name. It's not enough, again, for your spouse to say your name. But have you heard the Lord call your name? Your name. Mentioned it recently how it is that as the Lord's children, it's a marvel indeed that in glory in the throne room of God, they're talking about us. Well, it's our natural tendency to think that, well, you know, I'm just in the group. I'm in the gang that's saved, that is the Lord just over there on the fringe somewhere, and the Lord doesn't pay any attention to me. Our Lord Jesus is talking about his people to the Father at the throne of God. Amen. Have you heard him call your name? I tell you what, listen, hear what the word of the Lord says. Don't block it out, but I tell you what, don't be hard against what the word of God says, but listen and hear what God's word says. Mary, Jim, tell you what, back in 1987, actually for a handful of years, our Lord Jesus honed in on me. I'm so thankful for it. In John chapter 10, our Lord Jesus here teaching, he's dealt with the Pharisees here in this chapter 9, and he's healed this blind man, and and dealt with him and the disciples and the religious leadership of the day. I mean, he's dealing with so many facets, so many aspects. He talks to them about their lack of understanding their condition. They're in verse 40, 41 of chapter 9. And he goes into this discourse about who he is and the way things are. He talks about the sheepfold. And he talks about the one that comes in through the door. And that's he's speaking of himself. And listen to what he says here. To him the porter openeth, John 10:3, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name. By name. Our Lord Jesus, he doesn't say, hey, you. But he knows us by name, doesn't he? He speaks our name. The still small voice of the Lord. We saw it there in 1 Kings 19, Elijah was having a pity party. You ever have a pity party? You ever go your own way? And the Lord says your name. Jim, what are you doing meddling with that? Have you heard the Lord call your name? Have you heard our Lord call your name? He calls his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. He's our leader. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. You know the voice of the Lord? Have you heard it? Verse number 10, they don't understand about what the Lord has told them, and so he tells them more and tells them and explains that he's not only the one that goes through the door. All others that come another way don't belong there, but it is his fold that's at hand and his sheep of his fold. And then he kind of shifts gears and intensifies this, saying that he's the door. He said, all that ever came before him were thieves and robbers. Verse number 9, I am the door, and by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. He's the only way into the fold. Only way into the family. Only way of salvation. In verse number 10, he says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Have you heard that from the Lord? Have you heard that from the Lord? That he has come that we might have abundant, that you might have abundant life. Have you heard that from the Lord? His still small voice whispering. Verse number 11, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. I've given my life for you, Jim. Not for everybody. Not us. I've given my life for you, Jim. For you. For you. It's all personal. Nobody else is involved, just the Lord and the individual. Verse number 15, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. I've laid down my life for you, Jim. For you. You. Nobody else is in the picture. Have you heard these words that only the Savior can affirm? You know what? A pastor, I want to be a good pastor of the Lord. I want to be a good pastor to each and every one of you and to you and your families and that. I want to represent our Lord in every way that I can. And you pray for me, Lord, help me. You know, I can't affirm these things to you. But I tell you what, the Savior can. Amen. I lay down my life for the sheep. Verse 17, therefore doth my Father love me because I lay down my life that I might take it again. Jim, I laid down my life for you. Jim, I took my life back again. Oh, if we have hope in Christ only in this life, we are of men most miserable. I've got a promise from my Lord that He's going to cause me to live forever. He has spoken that to me. Have you heard that? Have you heard about that? Well, that's good. I'm glad you've heard about that. But have you heard that yourself? Words only a Savior, the Savior, can affirm, make solid for you. Verse number 18, no man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Jim, I've got power. I've got power, and I've used it for your sake. For your sake. Have you heard that from the Lord? In Luke chapter 22, the disciples are there. The Lord Jesus is observing the Passover, instituting the Lord's Supper. And they're in a quandary about some of the things that the Lord is saying to them. He's telling them things in advance, he says, that they might know and not be offended when the things take place. He's telling the future. He's prophesying to them and making it very clear. The Lord is using these words, after I have risen. He's using those words, after I have risen. Job knew that he would see his Savior in his flesh, right? Though the skin worms destroy my flesh, yet he'll see God. He will see God somehow. Even though his eyes will be destroyed, he will see God. He'll see. But the Lord is telling them here and using those words. You know, Job said that he would see the Lord, but you know, for us to make a declaration like our Lord Jesus is, that after I am risen, is just really a declaration indeed of his power and his knowledge, his infinites. This comes up about betrayal in this time. And of course, all the disciples are asking, am I going to be the one to betray you? Is it going to be me? And they're chewing on that and inquiring about that and all that. Peter says, he comes to the point, he says, I'm not going to betray you. I'll go with you to the death. And if these other guys bail out on you, I'm not bailing out on you. And the Lord lays it out before Peter, what's going on about Satan and desiring to sift Peter and really find out what he's about. Verse number 32, he says to Peter, but I have prayed for thee. Words that only the Savior can affirm to the soul. Do you know from Jesus that He prays for you? Not about it, that He prays for people. But do you know and believe and have that the Lord is praying for thee? In John chapter 17, our brother touched on this morning. Let's just walk down through here and take a look at a couple verses. Verse number 9, this is the Lord's prayer as he prays there for his children that are at hand and even for us. Verse number 9, I pray for them. I pray not for the world. John 17:9. Verse number 15, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. He's praying for them and us. Keep us from the evil. Verse number 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. He's praying. He's praying to the Father. And understand about this of prayer, The word prayer doesn't necessarily mean bowing down on knees, closing eyes, and then making petition. What the word prayer in its foundational base sense is making a request. Making a request. Asking for something to be done. That's what prayer is. Verse number 24, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. Praise God. He prays for us, doesn't he? In Romans chapter 8, we see here the apostle writing to this church of Rome, and he makes this very clear to them and to us. Verse number 34 of this chapter, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Who can top that? Who can stand? If Christ died for our sins and paid our sin debt, who can stand up and condemn us for our sins? That's what that's saying. Yea, rather, that is risen again. Not only did he pay the price, but he came back from the dead. He rose from the dead. Who is even at the right hand of God. He ascended to the Father, totally completing everything that the Father gave him to do at that time, in winning and purchasing our redemption and salvation, who also maketh intercession for us. Again, I refer back to what we'd said earlier. Jesus, if you're his child, Jesus is talking about you at the throne and to the Father. Have you heard that promise from him that he is doing so? Have you heard from the Lord words that only your Savior can affirm? In Hebrews chapter 7, we have another verse here that talks to us about this. Hebrews chapter 7. Speaking about our great high priest and an unchangeable priesthood, never dies. Not like priests of men who die, and not like intercessors of men who die. But this priest, it says he lives forever. Verse 25 of Hebrews 7, wherefore, because of all this, his unchangeableness, his power, his might, his fidelity, wherefore he is able to also to save them to the uttermost that come to unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Amen. Have you heard and do you know that your Lord is praying for you? Do you have that assurity? In Hebrews chapter 13, words only the Savior can affirm to the soul. In Hebrews chapter 13, our brother writes and declares unto us in verse number 5, let your conversation, what you say, do, and think, let your conversation be without covetousness, wanting something that is forbidden, that is not yours, that the Lord's good pleasure has been not to give it to you. Don't let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he saith, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Amen. Have you heard that? Have you heard that from the Lord? I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Have you heard that from the Lord, that still small voice from your Lord? In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, as Paul is closing out with dealing with this church at Corinth, a church that he had been called to the Lord to work amongst, and the one there that preached the gospel, and they were saved, and the church established, they've got trouble, they've got things, distraction, things that they've been going on and going away from the Lord in and guilty of, and the apostles trying to help them. They have a quarrel amongst some of them that Paul is just, you know, he's just not, He's just not sharp enough to be a minister or have any standing towards them now. That some of them believe that they've gone on and exceeded the design and the way of the Lord, the purpose of the Lord and his apostles and what the apostles have been given to do. They just don't think that they need to listen to Paul. They hear Paul, what he writes, and it really seems real stout and real strong. But then you see Paul in person, there's just nothing really powerful about him. So they got this turmoil, this controversy amongst themselves about whether they should even listen to the apostle. And he loves them. He pleads them. He instructs them and rebukes them in so many ways. And then he tells about how the Lord has called him and what the Lord has given him. Don't look on the physical. Look on the spiritual. Fruit inspector. He gets so much to the point that he declares unto them, understand how I engage you and I love you more and more and more and give of myself and tell the truth unto you. And you dislike, some of you dislike me even more. But I'm going to keep on. He talks about the infirmity that he has suffered for the sake of the saints and for the churches. And in verse number 9, we hear what his Lord has whispered to him. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength, that is the Lord's, is made perfect in weakness. Have you heard that? Have you heard that from the Lord? My grace is sufficient for thee. We've had a lot of illness and a lot of injury and sickness in the church. So many families touched. We've got some right in the throes of things, others that have things ahead, grievous things in families, extended families in our church. Have you heard that from the Lord? My grace is sufficient for thee. Paul declares in regards to this, I've come to see when I'm weak, talking about this old body, then am I strong. Amen. Have you heard that from the Lord? Have we heard that from our Lord? In John chapter 14, the disciples are still wrangling about what the Lord has been telling them. This attitude of the Lord wanting to go to Jerusalem and all that. Don't you know down there in Jerusalem, they want to kill you. And he says in John chapter 14, verse number 1, let not your heart be troubled. He's talking to grown men. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Have you heard that from the Lord? That still small voice of the Lord, I go to prepare a place for you. Do you know that? Have you heard that? If you and I would talk that way to one another, that we're going to go to eternity and prepare a place for one another, it would be laughable, wouldn't it? But have you heard the Lord Jesus speak those words to you? I go to prepare a place for you. Words only the Savior can affirm to the soul. Verse number 3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Have you heard those words? Have you heard those words from your Savior? In Revelation chapter 11, verse number 12, talking about the two witnesses there that the Lord will send in the day of his judgment upon the earth and the Antichrist and the wickedness of men, the nations that remain and all that. Those two witnesses, they stand there, they prophesy, they preach, they've got a way to destroy those that try to hurt them. And then they're killed by the man of sin, by the Antichrist. And they lay there, their bodies lay there in Jerusalem for so many days. And you know what it declares, what the Lord declares unto them in Revelation chapter 11, verse number 12? And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, these two witnesses, come up hither. You have a promise of that? I tell you what, that's what one day that's what the Lord will do with his people, won't it? He'll say, come on up here, children. Come up hither. Come up hither. Words I'm looking forward to hearing, aren't you? Have you heard from the Lord that he will say that unto you? In conclusion, these words that only a Savior can affirm, his way of salvation, the call to follow him, our Lord knowing us by name, the reason that he has come and giving his life for us and laying it down, not only laying it down, but taking it up, that our Lord prays for us. He intercedes for us. He desires for us to be with him and near him. He will never leave us nor forsake us. His grace, his power, his working, his storehouse of supplying need is infinite. His grace, his favor is sufficient for us. Strength. His strength is shown in our weakness. He goes to prepare a place for us and to receive us. He desires for us to be with him. And one day he will tell us to come up hither. Have you heard these words from the Lord? These are all words, and there's many more, that cannot be affirmed by a religion. They cannot be affirmed by a creed. You see this? Do you understand this? All the ways that men pursue to try to get right with God, I tell you what, they can't do it. They can't affirm these words. Only a Savior, only a living, powerful Savior can affirm these things. A creed can't do it. I'll tell you what, in your mind's eye, can you picture the the religionist or the one that has taken oath to a creed or a system of doctrine lying there in their bed getting ready to die? Will these things speak these words to them? Never. They're cold. They're dead. A religious organization, any other organization of men, a denomination. Can you speak these words to yourself with affirmation, with power to back them up? No. Nor can we do so ourselves, nor can any other person like us do so. They can only be affirmed to the soul by the Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 7, Brother Stephen has been dealing with his brother and his countrymen here after the flesh, and he's declaring to them, he declares to them the whole history of what the Lord's taken them through and how they've got to this point in this day and how they've missed the one that God was ultimately sending and the one that is the answer to all things that the Lord had done in Israel. He's telling them the truth. And they hate him for it. And it comes down to here, to verse number 54. And when they had heard these things of Acts chapter 7, when they had heard these things, they were cut to the heart, these that are here in the hearing of Stephen. And they gnashed on him with their teeth. I mean, they are gritting their teeth unto grinding them down and breaking them off because they just cannot stand this word coming to them about Jesus and that all of this has to do, their entire nation's history has to do with this one man, the God man, the Messiah. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God and said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. He died. What did Jesus say to Stephen? You think that the Lord Jesus was there silent? I don't know for sure. But I tell you what, I believe our Lord Jesus was communicating with our brother, don't you? Our Lord Jesus is getting ready to say, Stephen, come up hither. Only words, words that can only by the Savior can be affirmed. And you know what? Our brother had those things. Many things that we've talked about and mentioned out of the scripture this morning. I don't know what Jesus was saying to Stephen, but I tell you what, if he was speaking, I know they were words spoken assuredly by the Savior who loves him. Words. Only the Savior can affirm. If you're here and you're not saved, we point you to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here and you're not saved, you need him because you have no help and hope otherwise. There's no other place. There's no other God but him. No other Savior but him. We point you to him. He's got sweet words of peace. We pray that the Lord will help you in every way.